bits and pieces. That wasn't funny, it's not nice.
Okay, we're going to learn some Tani. We're starting chapter 9, which is on page 36, with the numbering system off on the bottom of the page, in the Sonsino English translated edition. In the original pagination, it's on page 26 with the numbering system at the top of the page. So, what we have read, learned so far, is of the different souls which inhabit us, the godly soul and the animal soul. And the godly soul is part of God and is trying to persuade us to do godly things all the time, because that's the only thing that the godly soul enjoys. Prayer, learning Torah, doing the commandments, putting on your tefillin, giving charity, eating kosher, all the things that we've been taught to do. That gives the divine, godly soul pleasure and fulfillment. Then, the animal soul, which is interested in, as the name implies, animal activities. Eating, drinking, sleeping, football, going to the pigs, whatever people like to do. Going for a drink. And there's a tension been set up between these two powers within ourselves. And they're fighting for supremacy within us to see who can be in control. And for most people, it's backwards and forwards. They'll get up in the morning and they'll say, Mode Ani, I give thanks to you, the king of the world, etc. Wash your hands, go to shul, then they'll go to work, and then they'll forget they were in shul, and some temptation will come their way. And then they'll go to mincha, go and daven mincha, which, you know, it's an up and down situation. That's for most people. There are certain people who live on the level of their godly soul the whole time, and they're called tzaddikim. Righteous men. They're always in tune with their godly soul, and they always behave the way their godly soul wants them to behave. And then at the other end of the spectrum, there's Rashaim, who are so-called wicked people, who never give a second thought to their godly soul, or what it wants, and are possibly not even aware they've got one. And all they want to do is live the good life. And so they follow the diktat of their animal soul and just have a good time. Live it up, which is what many people in the world do. And they don't prayer, charity. Yeah. Not for me. I prefer football. Mm. So you've got this spectrum of observance or allegiance to the godly soul, to the animal soul, and anything in between. So let's now go on a bit further. Where in the body do these souls manifest themselves? V'hine, mekam mishkan nefesh ba'amish mekripes noga b'chol ish Yisrael u'beleiv b'chalal smoli. The place where the animal soul, which in a Jew is of a neutral type of animal soul, it's not an evil type of animal soul, it's kind of benign, and we've discussed this at length in previous weeks, what this klipas noga is, this klipa which is the husk, but it's also got light, which means it's in the neutral area, and it's not bad and not good. Where does it reside? In the left side of the heart. Because that's the side of the heart that pumps blood to the body. Shehu mole dam, which is full of blood. Uksiv ki adam o anofesh. And it says in the Torah that the blood is the soul. The soul resides in the blood. And that's why shechita, you know what shechita is?
No.
Slaughtering. The ritual slaughtering done by the sharp knife drawn across the neck to cut the veins.
Kosher.
What does it do? You drain the blood. That's what kills the animal. The blood supply drains. Blood drains out. And the brain goes unconscious within a second or two, and then the blood comes out of the body and out of the heart, and that's the end of the soul, because the soul is in the blood. That's what it says in the Chumash. And it's so modern, it's such a modern statement, written 3,500 years ago. And
I don't understand this.
And we know from modern medical discoveries of how crucial the blood is to life more than any other aspect of the body. It's how, it carries all the nutrients and carries out all the nutrients to every single cell of the body and to give it life and sustenance, carries away all the poisons, and without the blood circulating, what's a stroke, what's a heart attack? It's all to do with the blood, isn't it? Blood clots.
Please repeat. If the blood destroys the soul, I thought the soul was spiritual and lives on.
I didn't say it destroys the soul.
Oh, sorry.
I said with the departure of the blood, the soul departs too, because the soul resides in the blood. Ki adam hua nefesh, for the blood is the soul. It doesn't mean literally it's the soul. It means the soul resides in the blood.
The life force.
The life force is there in the blood. So not surprisingly, it's to do with the heart. Therefore, all the desires which are manifest by the animal soul, so desires and pride and anger and all these emotional responses and similar, they're all in the heart. We talk about the emotions being in the heart, don't we? Even in the secular language, the emotions are the seat of the heart. We talk about somebody that's unkind and unfeeling as being a heartless
person.
What? They're not lacking a heart. They've got a heart beating, but we describe them as heartless, don't we? So we use the heart, as even in English and other languages, as being the seat of the emotions. And cold-hearted individual, warm-hearted individual, it's all in the heart, isn't it? True, we know it's in the brain, really, but the heart is the seat of the emotions. Now, just by the way, I'll tell you an interesting thing which I read many, many years ago, that you've heard of pacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're put in when someone has an irregular heartbeat.
Yeah.
And they control the beating of the heart. Now, what that means is that when a person without the pacemaker would get excited about something and get involved, the heartbeat goes up, doesn't it?
Mm.
When you get excited about something, involved, emotional.
Mm.
So the heartbeat goes faster. But with a pacemaker, it
regulates.
It can't. It's got to stay regular.
Of course.
And after a while, some men reported back to the doctors that their wives were complaining that they had become cool, even cold, towards their wives when they were expressing their love to their wives. And that's because the heart couldn't beat faster. So we see that the heart does have a major effect on the emotions. Because if the heart can't beat faster, so it all stays cool, and that affects how you behave. The heart beating faster is how you give vent to your feelings.
Is that where you get the expression hot-blooded?
Yeah, it's all connected. All connected. Language has a tremendous amount of wisdom in it. Common language has a lot of truths in it. Without us realizing, we're using these expressions. But when you start reading the holy books, you realize these expressions are part of the natural wisdom in a population. And they deep down realize the truth, that the emotions are actually in the heart. Everyone will tell you, all scientists tell you, everything is controlled by the brain. But it's via the heart that these things, because if the heart can't beat faster, then that message goes back to the brain, and the brain cools it as well.
My friend's got a defibrillator. Is that the same as a pacemaker? So I understood that it kickstarts the heart if it stops.
Yeah, so there's a connection, but it's not exactly the same thing. And from the heart, the blood spreads out to all the body. And it goes up to the brain, and the brain takes the blood and the effect of these feelings is felt in the brain, and it thinks about them, meditates about them, and thinks intellectually about them. Like the blood, its source is in the heart. And from the heart, it spreads to all the limbs. And it goes up to the brain of the head as well. So that is where the animal soul resides, in the blood, and in turn in the left side of the heart, which is that part of the heart which feeds the blood to the rest of the body. So where, if that's the case, is the godly soul? First of all, it's in the brain. It's in the brain. In the head. Ach, umishom mispateshes, mispashetes l'chol ha'ivorim, and from there, it spreads to all the limbs. V'gambalev b'chalal ha'yimoni, and also to the heart, to the right side of the heart, as you rightly pointed out just now. She'ein by dam, where there is no blood originally. The commercial cost of lev chacham l'yimino, as it says, the heart of the wise man is to the right. V'yavas Hashem k'rish be'shal heves, misla heves b'lev, and this refers to the love of God, which is like a flaming flame, which is
cold,
inflammable, in the heart. This is happening in the hearts of those that understand and think with their minds, in their brains, about things that awaken that love of God. So here we have it, that the animal side of our nature coming from the animal soul resides in the blood and in turn in the left side of the heart, and the godly soul resides primarily in the brain. And we have been given the power of the brain. We've been given the power that the brain should control the heart. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, every yeshiva has either what's called a mashpia in the Lubavitch yeshivas, which means a kind of moral leader, moral teacher who teaches ethics, morality to the students. And in the non-Lubavitch yeshivas, he's called a mashkiach, which means a supervisor. But he also communicates ethical teachings to the students as well. So we had a mashkiach, and his name, he should be well, he's in his 90s now. The last I heard, he's still alive, but very frail. And his name is Gedalia Eisman, he should be well. And he once was talking to me, you know, trying to persuade me to be a better person. And he said, you know, he touched me on my forehead like this. He went like this to me. You know, in the Hebrew, you know, from here to here, it's not very far, is it? But it's such a long way. He was pointing to my head, my brain, and to my heart. They're not far, you know, it's only a foot apart. But it's such a long way to get the brain, to control the heart. That's the avoda of a lifetime. That's the job of a lifetime.
You told the
That's story. What we're battling to achieve throughout the whole of our lives.
If I may interrupt, and if maybe you have a moment to tell Michael the story.
The story of controlling the heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Before we finish, I'll tell you the story. Yeah. We've got a few minutes, and I'll tell you that. Okay. So let's just move on a little. It's fifth line from the bottom on page 36. V'chein simchas levav b'tiferes Hashem. Then also we are able to generate joy joy of the heart in the splendor of God, Vahadag Einai, and his mighty, in the glory of his mightiness, Kasha Eine HaChochem, Asher Baraisha B'mer Chochmasa B'Nosim Istakim B'Yukara D'Malka, when the eyes of the wise man, who, he says, and now a wise man has eyes in his head, so it means he's able to see with his mind things that other people can't see. And he sees with his understanding, he looks at the glory of the king, the Tiferes Gedulosa, and the beauty of his greatness, Adein Cheke, and he realizes this is unfathomable. Ein Sof, and it's infinite. The Tachlis, and there's no end. Kumavu b'makam acheres is explained elsewhere. V'chein b'sha'am indus kadosha shebelev, heim l'chabat shememeichin, and the other feelings, the holy feelings in the heart, also come from the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in the brain. So what we have is a system whereby the godly soul controls the emotions using intellect. Now, let's explain this a little bit. A person, when they desire something animalistic, was that thought out or spontaneous?
Spontaneous.
It's spontaneous. It's not something that you know, I'm walking down the road and I see some shops coming up over there. I'll bet one of them's an ice cream shop. I don't think it's kosher. I'll bet one of them's an ice cream shop. You know what? I think I'll want an ice cream. Is that what we do? You start thinking there's going to be a shop, there's going to be an... As you're passing by and you see the ice cream shop, you want the ice cream. It's not something that you've developed. You see, it says in the Talmud, we say in the Shema, V'loisa suru achrei levavachem v'acheinechem. Don't turn aside after your heart and after your eyes. So the Talmud puts it like this and says, Ha'ayin roya v'alev chaymed. The eye sees and the heart desires. Before you've seen it, before you've come across it, you don't even think about it. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's all over here and over here, right? So the eye see the ice cream shop. Oh, I want an ice cream. Kids, they see something. You know, you're going shopping, and mum's going shopping to the groceries. Oh, the kids see the sweets. Mum, I want a sweet. They wouldn't have said it if it had been in the car, because they hadn't seen it yet. The eye sees,
the heart
desires. That's what we say in the Shema. Don't go after your heart and your eyes. Don't follow them. So what should you follow?
Intellect.
What we should be following is, in our brains, we've got the godly soul. And the godly soul, hopefully, the brain is churning over things which the godly soul wants. And it churns it over and thinks about it.
And becoming.
And starts saying, well, we must do something about this. You know, I've got a feeling I want to pray to God. It's not because you saw God anywhere, because you can't see him. It's not something you desired because you saw it.
Good feeling.
It's come from here. It's the right thing to do. So you start thinking of the right thing to do, and it causes you to get a feeling to do the right thing. That's the way the two systems work. And that's what he's explaining over here. The animal soul works from the heart to start with and influences the brain to follow the diktat. Because once you've decided you want the ice cream, then you think, you know, how am I going to get it? And where's my money? Oh, I better go and get some cash. You know, you start thinking of how you're going to fulfill your desire. So the first came the desire, and then comes the intellect. Whereas with the godly soul, it's the other way around. First comes the intellect, yeah, to know what ought to be done, what should be done, what's right to be done. And then you get to work on getting an emotional involvement with what's supposed to be done, and then getting to do it. So it's a reverse process. And that's what he's describing over here.
You know, Rabbi, we've all heard the expression, lead with your heart, not your gut feeling. So,
yeah.
How do you overcome making a mistake?
You mean if you go by your gut feelings?
Yeah, because sometimes you feel that's not right.
Well, this is the challenge. This is the challenge. You have to know when your gut is right and when it's not. I mean, let's not underestimate gut feelings. Gut feelings are something in them as well. But if it's in the area of good and evil, and good and evil we just described before, defined by what the Torah says is good and what the Torah says is evil. So let's say non-kosher food at that moment is evil.
Mm.
And kosher food at that moment is good.
Mm.
So to say I'm going to go by my gut feeling over that is going to get me into trouble straight away, because the gut literally wants an ice cream even though it's not kosher. But gut feelings in a neutral area of deciding, you know, you're in business, should I do a deal, should I not do a deal, should I take this guy as a partner, should I not take this guy as a partner, their gut feelings could be very, you know, reliable. Because it's like a sixth sense which a person has. I'm not saying gut feelings are just to be ignored in total, but it depends in what direction it's leading. So this is the structure. But it's written regarding the two brothers over the page 38, Yud Dalad at the top. When Jacob and Esau were born, before they were born, their mother, Rivka, Rebecca, was pregnant with twins, but she didn't know that. And she had a terrible pregnancy. She felt lots of disturbances in her womb, pain, and she felt so bad that she actually regretted getting pregnant. And she went to a tzaddik to get advice. What's going on? Why am I suffering so much? And the tzaddik was Shem, who was the son of Noah, who was still alive. And he said, you are going to bear twins. She never knew that until that moment. And it made a lot of sense. It was somehow it was like a battleground going on inside a womb.
How did he know?
Because a tzaddik knows things. It says in the book of Psalms, Sayyid Hashem Nireyot, the secrets God tells to those that fear him. God shares his secrets with those that fear him. A tzaddik is someone that fears God in the ultimate.
I fear God.
Well,
depends on which level.
There are levels and levels.
He doesn't tell me no secrets.
Ah, Michael.
Well, a tzaddik is someone that fears God and puts it all into practice and never ever disobeys God's commands on any occasion whatsoever. So he puts his fear of God into practice, not just a feeling. It's an actuality. Anyway, he told her there's going to be twins. But he said, Shnei Goyim, Mimahaya Hiparedu, two nations are going to spread out from your womb. They're going to separate out from your womb. As soon as they're born, they're going to be different. And one of them is going to overcome the other. La'im means nation. One nation will always overcome the other. They'll never be the same. They'll always be trying to achieve supremacy one over the other. Now this is the paradigm, this is the moshul. It actually happened in practice. The children were Jacob and Esau. Jacob is the father of the Jewish people, and Esau is the father of many of our enemies who tried to destroy us, including Rome. So there's a battle for supremacy in physical battle, but there's also a spiritual battle that Jacob, the Jewish people, is fighting for spirituality in the world, and Esau is fighting for physicality in the world and just having a good time. And there's a spiritual battle going on between the two. And that's what he's referring to over here. So the two parties, the godly soul and the animal soul, are like the two antagonists. And the body is the battleground. The body is a neutral thing. The body's, you know, hands are not bad. Noses aren't bad. Noses aren't good. Hands aren't good. Hands aren't bad. It's what you do with them that counts. Do I use my hand to give a penny to charity, or do I use my hand to punch somebody on the nose?
That's wrong.
So what am I going to use my... So the hand becomes holy, or the opposite of holy, depending on what I do with it. So this battle is going on the whole time. That's what he's saying over here. Ki aguf nikra ir katana, because the body is called a small city. And just like two kings are battling for supremacy over a town, there's one king inside the town and the other's outside trying to get in there. Each one wants to conquer it. The one inside, maybe they're both outside. Or maybe one's inside and trying to hang on to it. And the other's outside trying to get hold of it. And he wants, each king wants to make the inhabitants of that city behave according to his diktat. For she who saw the mashmasa, and they should listen to his commands. The chalasha yisaleihem in everything that he commands them to do. Kach shein afoshes alikis vachiyunis abahamish ameklip and the chomazayim zay alaguf the cholevar. So also the two souls, the godly soul and the animal soul, which comes from the klipa, as we mentioned before, are fighting each other over the body and all its limbs for supremacy, to try and take control. The godly soul wants to be the sole deazoga, as we say in Yiddish, the sole opinion as to how the body should behave with all its limbs. And how it conducts itself. And all the limbs should listen to what the godly soul says. And the body should just say, I'll do whatever you want. I'll just go along with it. And Merkavah means it's like a vehicle, like your taxi. Your taxi obeys your commands, right? Your taxi is like an extension of your hand. When you go like that and turn left, if the taxi wouldn't turn left, you'd be in big trouble.
Mm.
Taxis have to do what they're told. So we want the body to be a taxi. The Hebrew is Merkavah, which means a chariot, a wagon. In the hands of the godly soul. The godly soul goes, go to shul, you go to shul, put on tefillin, you put on tefillin, give charity, give charity. It just, the body just does as it's told. By the godly soul. V'yilavush le'asa b'chin ha'sel, v'gim le'vush ha'ana. So he's continuing the theme. We'll finish over here now, because we've run out of time. And obviously the animal soul is trying to do the opposite, and make the body behave animalistically, and obey its diktat the whole time. Okay, we'll leave it there.